the I quadrant. That message was very comforting, especially to my parents' generation, since they lived through a horrible world war and the Great Depression. Those events had a tremendous impact upon our mental attitude and financial priorities. Many lived with that financial attitude, and they often taught that same attitude to their children. Many people also continued to believe that their home is an asset and their most important investment. That idea is an industrial age way of thinking. In the industrial age, that was all a person needed to know about money management because the company or labor union and the government took care of the rest. The rules have changed. In today's information age, most of us need greater financial sophistication. We need to know the difference between an asset and a liability. We are living much longer and therefore need more financial stability for our retirement years. If your home is your biggest investment, then you're probably in financial trouble. Your financial portfolio needs to be a much bigger investment than your home. The good news is that the I quadrant is a great quadrant to place as a top priority and to learn to be responsible for, because freedom comes from this quadrant. So, the mental attitude questions are: 1. Which quadrant will you place first? Which is the most important to you? 2. Which side of the table do you eventually plan to sit on? I have asked question 2 because of this phenomenon. You may have noticed that when a major company announces a layoff of thousands of employees, the company's share price often goes up. That is an example of the two sides of the table. When a person shifts to the other side of the table, his or her point of view of the world also changes. And when a person shifts quadrants, if only mentally and emotionally, then loyalties often change. I believe that this shift is brought on by the change of ages, the change from industrial age thinking to information age thinking. This shift will create some of the biggest challenges in the future for businesses and business leaders. The rules have just begun to change. Chapter 14, Investor Lesson Number 14, Basic Rules of Investing. One day, I was feeling frustrated about my financial progress in life. I had about 4 months before I was to leave the military and enter the civilian world. I had stopped all efforts to get a job with the airlines. I had decided that I was going to enter the business world in June of 1974 and see if I could make it in the B quadrant. It was not a hard decision, since Rich Dad was willing to guide me, but the pressure to become financially successful was building. I felt that I was so far behind financially, especially when I compared myself to Mike. During one of our meetings, I shared my thoughts and frustrations with Rich Dad. I've got my two plans in place. One plan is to ensure that I have basic financial security, and the other, more aggressive investment plan, is so I will be comfortable financially. But at the rate those plans will be successful, if they even are successful, I'll never be rich like you and Mike, I said. Rich Dad grinned when he heard that. Smiling and laughing quietly to himself, he said, "Investing is not a race. You are not in competition with anyone else. People who compete usually have huge ups and downs in their financial life. You are not here to try to finish first. All you need to do to make more money is simply focus on becoming a better investor. If you focus on improving your experience and education as an investor, you will gain tremendous wealth. If all you want to do is get rich quickly or have more money than Mike, then chances are you will be the big loser. It's okay to compare and compete a little, but the real objective of this process is for you to become a better and more educated investor. Anything other than that is foolish and risky." I sat there nodding and feeling a little bit better. I knew then that rather than try to make more money and take bigger risks, I would focus on studying harder. That made more sense to me. it seemed less risky, and it certainly took less money, and money was not something I had much of then. Rich Dad went on to explain his reasons for starting Mike out in the I quadrant rather than the B or E quadrant. Since the objective of the rich is to have your money work for you so you don't have to work, why not start where you want to wind up? He went on to explain why he encouraged Mike and me to play golf when we were 10 years old. He said, "Golf is a game you can play all your life. Football is a game you can play for only a few years. So why not start with the game you will end up with?" Of course, I had not listened to him. Mike continued playing golf. I went on to baseball, football, and rugby. I was not very good at any of them, but I love the games and I am glad I played them. 15 years after starting to play golf and beginning to invest, Mike was now a great golfer, had a substantial investment portfolio, and had years more investment experience than I did. At age 25, I was just beginning to learn the basics of the game of golf and the game of investing. I make this point because, regardless of how young or old you are, learning the basics of anything, especially a game, is important. Most people take some kind of golf lessons to learn the basics before playing golf, but unfortunately, most people never learn the simple basics of investing before investing their hard-earned money. The basics of investing. Now that your two plans are in place, the plan for security and the plan for comfort, I will explain the basics of investing, said Rich Dad. He went on to explain that too many people begin investing without having the first two plans in place, and that was risky in his mind. He said, "After you have those two plans firmly in place, then you can experiment and learn more exotic techniques utilizing different investment vehicles. That is why I waited for you to take the time to put those two automatic or mechanical investment plans in place before I continued on with your lessons." Basic Rule Number 1. Investment Basic Rule Number 1, said Rich Dad, is to always know what kind of income you are working for. For years, Rich Dad had always said to Mike and me that there were three different kinds of income. 1. Ordinary earned income is generally derived from a job or some form of labor. In its most common form, it is income from a paycheck. It is also the highest taxed income, so it is the hardest income with which to build wealth. When you say to a child, "Get a good job," you are advising the child to work for ordinary earned income. 2. Portfolio income is generally derived from paper assets such as stocks, bonds, and mutual funds. Portfolio income is by far the most popular form of investment income, simply because paper assets are easier to manage and maintain. 3. Passive income is generally derived from real estate. It can also be derived from royalties from patents or license agreements. Yet, approximately 80% of the time, passive income is from real estate. There are many tax advantages available for real estate. One of the conflicting viewpoints between my two dads was what a parent should say to a child. My poor dad always said to me, "Work hard at school so you can get good grades. When you get good grades, you will be able to get a good job. Then you become a good, hard-working man." While Mike and I were in high school, Rich Dad would snicker at that idea. He used to say, "Your dad is a good, hard-working man, but he will never get rich if he continues to think that way." If you boys listen to me, you will work hard for portfolio income and passive income if you want to become rich. Back then, I did not fully understand what either man was saying or what the difference in philosophies was all about. At age 25, I was beginning to understand a little better. My dad was 52 and starting all over again, focused only on ordinary earned income, something he had thought was the right thing to do all his life. My rich dad was rich and enjoying life simply because he had worked hard for passive and portfolio income. I now knew which type of income I was going to work hard for, and it was not earned income. Basic Rule Number 2. Investment Basic Rule Number 2, said Rich Dad, is to convert ordinary earned income into portfolio income or passive income as efficiently as possible. And that, in a nutshell, is all an investor is supposed to do, Rich Dad summarized with a smile. That is about as basic as it can get. But how do I do it? I asked. How do I get the money if I don't already have the money? What happens if I lose the money? How, said Rich Dad. You sound like an Indian chief from an old movie. But those are real questions, I whined. I know they are real questions, but for now, I just want you to understand the basics. Later, I'll go into the how, okay? And watch out for the negative thoughts. Look, risk is always part of investing, as it is with life. People who are too negative and avoid risk back themselves out of most opportunities because of their negativity and fear of risk. Got it? I nodded. I got it. Start with the basics. Basic Rule Number 3. Investment Basic Rule Number 3, said Rich Dad, nodding to my last statement, is to keep your ordinary earned income secure by purchasing a security you hope converts your earned income into passive income or portfolio income. Secure in a security? I asked. I'm confused. What happened to assets and liabilities? Good question, said Rich Dad. I'm now expanding your vocabulary. It is time for you to go beyond the simple understanding of assets and liabilities. An understanding that most people never achieve, I might add. But the point I am making here is that all securities are not necessarily assets, as many people think they are. You mean a stock or a piece of real estate is a security, but it may not be an asset, I asked. That is correct. However, many average investors cannot distinguish between a security and an asset. Many people, including many professionals, do not know the difference. Many people call any security an asset. So, what is the difference? I asked. A security is something you hope will keep your money secure. And generally, these securities are bound up tightly by government regulations. And that is why the U.S. government organization that watches over much of the world of investing in this country is called the Securities and Exchange Commission, SEC. You may notice that its title is not the Assets and Exchange Commission. So the government knows that securities are not necessarily assets, I stated. Rich Dad nodded and said, and neither is it called the Securities and Guarantees Commission. The government knows that all it can do is maintain a tight set of rules and do its best to maintain order by enforcing those rules. It does not guarantee that everyone who acquires a security will make money. That is why securities are not called assets. If you remember the basic definition, an asset puts money in your pocket, or the income column. A liability takes money out of your pocket, and that shows up in your expense column. It's simply a matter of basic financial literacy. I nodded. So it is up to the investor to know which securities are assets and which securities are liabilities, I stated, beginning to understand where Rich Dad was going with this. That is correct, said Rich Dad. The confusion begins for most investors when someone tells them that securities are assets. Average investors are nervous about investing because they know that just because they buy a security, it does not mean they will make money. The problem with buying a security is that the investor can also lose money, said Rich Dad. He went on, so if the security makes money, it puts money into the income column of the financial statement and it is an asset. But if it loses money and that event is recorded in the expense column of the financial statement, then that security is a liability. In fact, the same security can change from being an asset into a liability. For example, I bought 100 shares of stock in ABC Company in December, for which I paid $20 per share. In January, I sold 10 shares for $30 per share. Those 10 shares of stock were assets because they generated income for me. But in March, I sold 10 more shares for only $10, so that same stock had become a liability because it generated a loss, an expense. Rich Dad cleared his throat before continuing. So the way I look at that is that there are instruments called securities in which I invest. It is up to me as the investor to determine if each security is an asset or liability. And that is where the risk comes in, I said. It is the investor not knowing the difference between an asset and a liability that makes investing risky. Basic rule number four. Investor basic rule number four is that it is the investor who is really the asset or the liability, said Rich Dad. What? I asked. The investor is the asset or liability, not the investment or security? Rich Dad nodded. You often hear people say, investing is risky, but really it is the investor who is risky. It is ultimately the investor who is the asset or the liability. I have seen many so-called investors lose money when everyone else is making money. I have sold businesses to many so-called business people and watched the businesses soon go bust. I have seen people take a perfectly good piece of real estate that is making a lot of money, and in a few years, that same piece of real estate is running at a loss and falling apart. And then I hear people say that investing is risky. It's the investor who is risky, not the investment. In fact, a good investor loves to follow behind a risky investor because that is where the real investment bargains are found. And that is why you love to listen to investors who are crying the blues about their investment losses, I said. You want to find out what they did wrong and see if you can find a bargain. You've got it, said Rich Dad. I'm always looking for the skipper of the Titanic. And that is why you don't like to hear stories about people making a lot of money in the stock market or the real estate market. You hate it when someone tells you that he or she bought a stock at $5 and it went to $25. You have observed me well, said Rich Dad. Listening to tales of quick money and instant wealth is a fool's game. Such stories draw in only the losers. If a stock is well known or has made a lot of money, the party is often already over or soon to be over. I'd rather hear tales of woe and misery because that is where the bargains are. As a person who operates on the B and I side, I want to find securities that are liabilities and turn them into assets, or wait for someone else to begin turning them into assets. So that would make you a contrarian investor, I ventured, a contrarian who goes against the popular sentiment of the market. That is the layperson's idea of what a contrarian investor is. Most people just think a contrarian investor is antisocial and does not like going along with the crowd. I like to think of myself as a repairman. I want to look at the wreck and see if it can be fixed. If it can be fixed, then it would still be a good investment only if other investors also want it fixed. If it cannot be fixed, or if no one would want it even after it is fixed, I don't want it either. So a true investor must also like what the crowd likes, and that is why I would not say I am a pure contrarian. I will not buy something just because no one else wants it. So is there an investor basic rule number five? I asked. Basic rule number five. Yes, there is, said Rich Dad. Investor basic rule number five is that a true investor is prepared for whatever happens. A non-investor tries to predict what and when things will happen. What does that mean? I asked. Have you ever heard someone say, I could have bought that land for $500 an acre 20 years ago. And look at it now. Someone built a shopping center right next to it, and now that same land is $500,000 an acre. Yes, I have heard those stories, many times. We all have, said Rich Dad. Well, that is a case of someone who was not prepared. Most investments that will make you rich are available for only a narrow window of time. A few moments in the world of trading or a window of opportunity that is open for years, as it is in real estate. But regardless of how long the window of opportunity is open, if you are not prepared with education and experience or extra cash, a good opportunity will pass. So, how does one prepare? You need to focus and keep in mind what others are already looking for. If you want to buy a stock, then attend classes on how to spot bargains in stocks. The same is true for real estate. It all begins with training your brain to know what to look for and being prepared for the moment the investment is presented to you. It is much like the sport of soccer. You play and play, and then all of a sudden, the winning kick at the goal appears. You're either prepared or you're not. You're either in position or you're not. But even if you miss the shot in soccer or in investing, there is always another shot at the goal or another opportunity of a lifetime investment right around the corner. The good news is that there are more and more opportunities every day, but first you need to choose your game and learn to play the game. So that is why you chuckle when someone complains about missing out on a good deal or tells you that you must get into this deal or that deal? Exactly. Again, there are so many people who come from the mindset that there is scarcity instead of abundance in the world. They often cry about missing a deal and hang on to a deal too long, thinking that it is the only deal, or they buy thinking that what they are looking at is the only deal. If you are good at the B and I side of the cash flow quadrant, you have more time and more deals to look at, and your confidence is high because you know you can take a bad deal that most people would reject and turn it into a good deal. That is what I mean about investing the time in order to be prepared. If you're prepared, there is a deal of a lifetime being presented to you every day of your life. And that is how you found that big piece of raw land, just walking down the street, I commented, recalling how Rich Dad found one of his best pieces of real estate. You saw that the for sale sign had fallen down and had been trampled on so no one knew the land was for sale. You called the owner and offered him a low but fair price at your terms, and he took it. He took your offer because no one else had made him an offer in over 2 years. That is what you mean, isn't it? Yes, that is what I mean, and that piece of raw land was a better deal than most. That is what I mean about being prepared. I knew what the land was worth, and I also knew what was going to happen in that neighborhood in a few months, so there was very low risk coupled with a very low price. I would love to find 10 more pieces of land today in that same neighborhood. And what do you mean by don't predict? I asked. Well, have you ever heard someone say, what if the market crashes? What will happen to my investment then? That is why I am not going to buy. I am going to wait and see what happens. Many times, I said. Rich Dad said, I have heard many people, when presented with a good investment opportunity, back away from the investment because their core fears begin to predict the disasters that will occur. They send out their negative vibes and never invest, or they sell when they shouldn't sell, and they buy something they shouldn't buy based on either optimistic or pessimistic emotional predictions. They could have handled that investment opportunity more wisely if they were a little educated, had a little experience, and were prepared, I said. Exactly, said Rich Dad. Besides, one of the basics of being a good investor is being prepared to profit when the market moves up or if it moves down. In fact, the best investors make more money in a down market simply because the market falls faster than it rises. As the saying goes, the bull comes up the stairs and the bear goes out the window. If you are not covered for either direction, you as the investor are too risky, not the investment. That means many people predict themselves right out of being rich investors. Rich Dad nodded. I have heard so many people say, I don't buy real estate because I don't want calls at midnight to fix toilets. Well, I don't either. That is why I have property managers. But I do love the tax advantages of cash flow from real estate that do not come from stocks. So people often predict themselves right out of opportunities instead of being prepared, I echoed, beginning to understand why being prepared was so important. How do I learn to be prepared? I'll teach you some basic trading techniques that all professional investors should know. Techniques such as shorts, call options, put options, straddles, and so on. But that will come later. Right now, that is enough about the advantages of preparation over prediction for you. But I have one more question about preparation, I protested. And what is that? Asked Rich Dad. What if I find a deal and I don't have any money? I asked. Basic rule number 6. That is investment basic rule number 6, said Rich Dad. If you are prepared, which means you have education and experience, and you find a good deal, the money will find you, or you will find the money. Good deals seem to bring out the greed in people. So when a person finds a good deal, the deal, because it promises great rewards, attracts the cash. If the deal is bad and doesn't promise great rewards, then it is really hard to raise the cash. Have you ever seen a good deal that did not attract the money? I asked. Many times, Rich Dad said, but it was not the deal that did not attract the cash. The person controlling the deal did not attract the cash. In other words, the deal would have been good if the guy in charge of the deal had stepped aside. It is like having a world-ranked race car with an average driver. No matter how good the car is, no one would bet on it with an average driver at the wheel. In real estate, people often say the key to success is location, location, location. I think differently. In reality, in the world of investing, regardless of whether it is real estate, business, or paper assets, the key is always people, people, people. I have seen the best real estate in the best location lose money because the wrong people were in charge. I said, so again, if I am prepared, if I have done my homework and have some experience and a track record, and I find something that is a good investment, then finding the money is not that hard. That has been my experience, Rich Dad said. Unfortunately, all too often, the worst deals, which are deals that investors like me would not invest in, are presented to unsophisticated investors, and the unsophisticated investors often lose their money. And that is why there is the Securities and Exchange Commission, I said. Its job is to protect the average investor from these bad deals. Correct, said Rich Dad. The primary job of investors is to make sure their money is secure. The next step is to do their best to convert that money into cash flow or capital gains. That is when you find out if you or the person to whom you entrusted your money can turn that security into an asset or if it will become a liability. Again, it is not the investment that is necessarily safe or risky. It is the investor. So, is that the last investor basic rule? I asked. No, not by a long shot, said Rich Dad. Investing is a subject you can learn the basics of for the rest of your life. The good news is that the better you are at the basics, the more money you make and the less risk you have. But there is one more investor basic rule I would like to leave you with, and that is investor basic rule number 7. Basic rule number 7. And what is number 7? It is the ability to evaluate risk and reward, said Rich Dad. Give me an example, I requested. Let's say your two basic investment plans are in place. Your nest egg is doing well, and you happen to have, let's say, an extra $25,000 you can invest on something more speculative. I wish I had $25,000 right now, I commented dryly. But tell me more about evaluating the risk and reward. So you have this $25,000 that you can more or less afford to lose, which means that if you lost it all, you would cry a little, but you could still put food on the table and gas in the car and save another $25,000. Then you begin to evaluate risk and rewards of the more speculative investments. And how do I do that? Let's say you have a nephew who has an idea for a hamburger stand. The nephew needs $25,000 to start. Would this be a good investment? Emotionally, it could be, but financially, it would not be, I replied. Why not? Asked Rich Dad. Too much risk and not enough reward, I replied. On top of that, how would you get your money back? The most important thing here is not return on investment. The most important thing here is return of investment. As you said, security of capital is very important. Very good, said Rich Dad. But what if I told you that this nephew has been working for a major burger chain for the past 15 years, has been a vice president of every important aspect of the business, and is ready to go out on his own and build a worldwide burger chain? And what if, for a mere $25,000, you could buy 5% of the entire company? Would that be of interest to you? Yes, I said. Definitely, because there is more reward for the same amount of risk, yet it is still a high-risk deal. That is correct, said Rich Dad. And that is an example of an investor basic, which is to evaluate risk and reward. So how does a person evaluate such speculative investments? I asked. Good question, said Rich Dad. That is the rich level of investing, the level of investing that follows the investment plans to be secure and comfortable. You're now talking about acquiring the skills to invest in investments that the rich invest in. So again, I summarized, it is not the investment that is risky. It is the investor who doesn't have the adequate skills that makes the investment a higher risk. The three E's. Correct, said Rich Dad. At this level, the level at which the rich invest in, the investor should have the three E's. And the three E's are 1. Education, 2. Experience, 3. Excess cash. Excess cash, I asked. Not just extra cash? No, I use the words excess cash for a reason. Investing in the investments of the rich takes excess cash, which means you can truly afford to lose and still profit from the loss. Profit from the loss, I asked. What does that mean? We will get into that, said Rich Dad. In the rich level of investing, you will find out that things are different. At the rich level, you will find out that there are good losses and bad losses, good debt and bad debt, good expenses and bad expenses. At the rich level, your educational requirements and experience will need to go up dramatically. If not, you will not be there for long. Got it? I'm getting it, I replied. Rich Dad went on to explain that if things do not follow the KISS, keep it simple, sweetheart, formula, then the risk is probably high. He said, if someone cannot explain the investment to you in less than 2 minutes in a way that allows you to understand it, then either you don't understand, he doesn't understand, or you both don't understand. Whatever the case, it is best that you pass on the investment. He also said, all too often, people try to make investing sound complex, so they use intelligent-sounding jargon. If someone does that, ask him or her to use simple English. If he or she can't explain the investment so a 10-year-old can understand at least the overall concept, chances are he or she does not understand it either. All PE means is how expensive the stock is. And a cap rate, which is a term used in real estate, just measures how much money the property puts or does not put in your pocket. So if it is not simple, don't do it? I asked. No, I'm not saying that either, said Rich Dad. All too often, people who lack interest in investing or have a loser's attitude will say, man, if it's not easy, I won't do it. I often say to that type of person, when you were born, your parents had to work hard and potty train you. So even going to the toilet was at one time difficult. Today, hopefully, you are potty trained, and going to the potty by yourself is just part of the basics. Mental attitude quiz. I have found that too many people want to invest in the investments of the rich without first having a strong financial foundation under them. All too often, people want to invest at the rich person's level because they are hurting financially and often need money desperately. Obviously, I do not recommend investments at a rich person's level unless you were already rich. Neither did my rich dad. Some people are fortunate enough that their financial plan to be comfortable creates enough excess cash to make them think they are rich. But unless they learn to think as rich people think, they will still be poor people. They will just be poor people with money. So the mental attitude question is, if you are going to invest or intend to invest in what the rich invest in, are you willing to gain what Rich Dad called the three E's? Again, they are education, experience, excess cash. If the answer is no, then the remainder of this audiobook may not be of much value to you, nor could I in good conscience recommend any of the investments I will be talking about, which are the investments of the rich. If you are uncertain or are curious about some of the requirements involved in the education and experience that can lead to acquiring excess cash, then continue listening. At the end of this audiobook, you can decide whether or not you want to go after the three E's. Along the way, you may discover that your plans to be financially safe, and then financially comfortable, will allow you to raise the bar. Just as a high jumper or pole vaulter raises the bar after succeeding at each level, you can succeed financially at the safety and comfort levels. You can then raise the bar and your goals and focus more of your time on becoming rich. As Rich Dad said, investing is a subject you can learn the basics of for the rest of your life. What he meant was that it sounds complex at the start, and then it gets simple. The simpler you can make this subject or the more basics you learn, the richer you can become while reducing risk. But the challenge for most people is to invest the time. Chapter 15, Investor Lesson Number 15, Reduce Risk Through Financial Literacy. It was still early in the spring of 1974. I only had a couple of months to go before I would be discharged from my military contract. I still did not know what I was going to do once I drove off the base for the last time. President Nixon was in trouble with Watergate, and the trials were about to begin, so I realized that he had larger concerns than I did at that moment. We all knew the war in Vietnam was over, and we had lost. I still had a very short military haircut, and I stood out each time I went into the civilian world where long hippie hair was the style. I began to wonder what I would look like in shoulder-length hair. I had worn a military haircut since 1965, ever since I entered the military academy for college. It was the wrong period of time to have short hair. The stock market had been going down for the past 4 days, and people were nervous. Even in the pilots' ready room on base, the few pilots that did play the market were nervous and edgy. One had sold all his stock to stand aside with cash. I was not invested in the stock market at the time, so I could objectively watch the effect that the ups and downs of the market had on people. Rich Dad and I met for lunch at his favorite beachside hotel. He was as happy as ever. The market was falling, and he was making even more money. I thought it strange that he would be calm and happy while everyone else, even the commentator on the radio, was nervous. How is it that you are happy and everyone else I meet who is in the stock market is nervous? Well, we talked about it earlier, said Rich Dad. We talked about how one of the basics of being an investor is to be prepared for whatever happens, rather than attempt to predict what is about to happen. I doubt if anyone can predict the market, although there are many people who claim they can. A person can predict something happening maybe once, maybe even twice, but I have never seen anyone predict anything regarding the market 3 times in a row. If there is such a person, he or she must have a high-powered crystal ball. I knew we had covered this, but I needed to ask Rich Dad the questions anyway. But isn't investing risky? Isn't it risky to not know what will happen? I asked. No, said Rich Dad. Most people I talk to believe that investing is risky, so they keep their money in the bank, in money market funds, or in CDs. As they should, said Rich Dad, pausing for a moment and then continuing. For most people, investing is risky, but always remember that it is not necessarily investing that is risky. It is the investor who is risky. Many people who think they are investors are not really investors. In reality, they are speculators, traders, or, even worse, gamblers. There are final lines of distinction between those characters and a true investor. Don't get me wrong, there are speculators, traders, and gamblers who do very well financially, but they are not who I would categorize as investors. So how does an investor become less risky? I asked. Good question, said Rich Dad. Or maybe a better question might be, how do I become an investor who makes a lot of money with very little risk and then hangs on to the money I make? Yes, that is definitely a more accurate question, I replied. My answer is the same. It is to keep things simple and understand the basics. Begin with having your investment plans for security and comfort in place. Those plans are often handled by someone else you hope is competent and following an automatic no-brainer formula. Then you have to pay the price to become an investor who wants to make more money with less risk. And what is that price? I asked. Time, said Rich Dad. Time is your most important asset. If you are not willing to invest your time, then leave your investment capital with people who are following the investment plan of your choice. Many people dream of getting rich, but most will not pay the price of investing their time. I could tell that Rich Dad was still very much into the mental preparation mode of our lessons, but by now I was ready to go. I really wanted to learn to invest following his investment formula, yet he was still testing my determination to invest my time and effort to learn what I needed to learn. I therefore raised my voice so the tables around me could hear and said, I want to learn. I am willing to invest my time. I will study. I won't quit on you. You are not wasting your time teaching me. Just tell me what the basics are to becoming a successful investor with very low risk. Good, said Rich Dad. I've been waiting for some fire. I got concerned this morning when you came in concerned about the market going down. If you let the ups and downs of the stock market run your life, you should not be an investor. The number one control you must have to be an investor is control over yourself. If you cannot control yourself, the highs and lows of the market will run you, and you will lose during one of those ups or downs. The number one reason people are not good investors is that they lack control over themselves and their emotions. Their desire for security and comfort takes control of their heart, their soul, their mind, their view of the world, and their actions. As I said, a true investor does not care which direction the market goes. A true investor will make money in either direction. So control over yourself is the first and most important control. Got it? I got it, I said as I backed up in my chair a little. I had come in a little wimpy and concerned. Yet I had been studying with Rich Dad for years, and I knew that his intensity was letting me know that the lessons on investing were just about to begin. Rich Dad continued at a rapid-fire pace. So if you want to invest with very low risk and high returns, you have to pay the price. And the price involves study. Lots of study. You need to study the basics of business. So, to be a rich investor, you also have to either be a good business owner or know what a business owner knows. In the stock market, investors want to invest in successful bees. If you possess the skills of a bee, you can either create your own business as a bee or analyze other businesses as potential investments as an I. The problem is that most people are trained to be E's or S's in school. They do not have the skills needed by a B. That is why so few people become very rich investors. And that is why so many people say or think that investing is risky, I said. Exactly, said Rich Dad. This is what fundamental investing is. In the world of investing, there are three basic asset classes you can invest in. We already covered the idea of ordinary earned income, passive income, and portfolio income. Building a business is probably the best investment of all if you want to become a rich investor. Roughly 80% of the very rich became rich through building a business. Most people work for people who build businesses or invest in businesses. Then they wonder why the person who built the business is so rich. The reason is that the builder of a business will always trade money for the asset. You mean the builder or owner of the business values the asset more than the money? I asked. That is part of the picture because all an investor really does is trade time, expertise, or money for a security that they hope or intend will become an asset. So, just as you trade money to buy an investment piece of real estate, like a rental house, or pay money for a share or stock, a business owner will pay people money to build a business asset. One of the main reasons the poor and middle class struggle is that they value money over true assets. So the poor and the middle class value money and the rich don't really value it? Is that what you're saying? Partially, said Rich Dad. Always remember Gresham's Law. Gresham's Law, I replied. I've never heard of Gresham's Law. What is that? Gresham's Law is an economic law that states that bad money will always drive out good money. Good money? Bad money? I asked, shaking my head. Let me explain, said Rich Dad. Gresham's Law has been in effect since humans began valuing money. Back in Roman times, people used to clip silver and gold coins. Clipping coins meant that people would shave a little bit off the coin before handing it to someone else, so the coin began to lose value. The Roman people were not stupid and soon noticed that the coins were lighter. Once the Roman people knew what was happening, they hoarded the coins with high silver and gold content and spent only the lighter coins. That is an example of bad money driving good money out of circulation. To combat this clipping of coins, the government began distributing coins with reeded or grooved edges. That is why coins of value have the tiny grooves on the edge. If a coin had the grooves filed down, a person knew the coin had been tampered with. Ironically, it is the government that does the most clipping of the value of our money. But that was back in Roman times. How does that law apply today? I asked. In 1965, less than 10 years ago, Gresham's Law began working in the United States when the government stopped producing coins with silver in them. In other words, the government began producing bad coins, or coins without any real value to them. Immediately, people began hoarding the real silver coins and spending the debased or fake coins. In other words, people somehow intuitively know that government money is not worth much, I stated. It seems that way, said Rich Dad, which may be why I think people save less and spend more. Unfortunately, the poor and middle class buy things that have even less value than their money. They turn cash into trash. Meanwhile, the rich buy things like businesses, stocks, and real estate with their money. They are looking for secure securities in a time when money has an ever-decreasing real value. That is why I've constantly said to you and Mike, the rich do not work for money. If you want to be rich, you have to know the difference between good money and bad money, assets and liabilities. Good securities and bad securities, I added. Rich Dad nodded. I say that the rich don't work for money because the rich are smart enough to know that money is worth less and less. If you work hard for bad money and do not know the difference between assets, liabilities, good securities, and bad securities, you may struggle financially all your life. It is truly a shame that those who work the hardest and are paid the least suffer the most from this constant erosion of money's value. People who do the hardest work have the hardest time getting ahead due to the effects of Gresham's Law. Since money has ever-declining value, a financially wise person must constantly seek things that do have value and can also produce more and more debased money. If you don't do that, you fall behind financially over time rather than get ahead. Your dad has chosen to work hard for job security. So when he lost his job, he found out that he had worked hard for nothing. And worst of all, he was successful. He worked himself all the way to the top of the state education system, but then he bucked the system. There goes his job security with the state government. I feel for your dad almost as much as you do, but you cannot talk to someone who has very set core values and is not willing to change. He is out looking for another job rather than asking himself if a job will get him what he really wants. So he clung to job security and false assets. However, he failed to convert his ordinary earned income into real assets so he could have a rich person's income, which is passive income or portfolio income, I said. He should have done that, converting his paycheck into real securities before taking on the system. Your dad is a brave man and highly educated, but not financially well educated, and that was his downfall. If he were rich, he could influence the system with campaign contributions. But since he had no money, all he could do was protest and defy the government. Protest is effective, but it takes a heck of a lot of people protesting to make any change in the government. Just look at how many protesting people it is taking to stop this war in Vietnam. The irony is that he was protesting against the power of the rich to influence government by campaign contributions, I said. He saw the power that people with money have over politicians and the favors the rich receive or the laws that are passed in favor of the rich. My dad saw the money involved in politics, and so he ran for lieutenant governor to try to stop that financial abuse. Now it has cost him his position in the government. He knows the laws are written in favor of the rich. Well, that is another subject on money, but not our subject today, said Rich Dad. Why investing is not risky. I've already made up my mind, I said. I have not followed up on any of the jobs for pilots. I will soon begin looking for a job with a company that has sales training so I can overcome my fear of rejection and learn to sell or communicate, as you recommend. Good, said Rich Dad. Both IBM and Xerox have excellent sales training programs. If you're going to be in the B quadrant, then you must know how to sell as well as market. You also have to have a very thick skin and not mind people saying no to you. But you also have to be able to change their mind if it is appropriate to do so. Selling is a very necessary skill for anyone who wants to become rich, especially in the B quadrant and very often in the I quadrant. But I have one burning question, I said. Ask it, said Rich Dad. How can you say investing is not risky when most people say investing is risky? Easy, said Rich Dad. I can read financial statements and most people cannot. Do you remember me saying to you years ago that your dad was word literate but not financially literate? I nodded, saying, I remember you saying that very often. Financial literacy is one of the most important investor basics, especially if you want to be a safe investor, an inside investor, and a rich investor. Anyone who is not financially literate cannot see into an investment. Just as a doctor uses x-rays to look into the human body, a financial statement allows you to look into an investment and see the truth, the facts, the fiction, the opportunities, and the risk. Reading a financial statement of a business or individual is like reading a biography or an autobiography. So one of the reasons many people say investing is risky is simply that they have never been taught to read financial statements? I asked in surprise. And that is why you began teaching Mike and me to read financial statements when we were 9 years old. Well, if you remember, you told me when you were just 9 years old that you wanted to be rich. When you told me that, I began with the basics. Never work for money. Learn to spot opportunities, not jobs. Learn to read financial statements. Most people leave school looking for jobs, not opportunities. They have been taught to work hard for ordinary earned income rather than passive income or portfolio income, and most have never been taught how to balance a checkbook, much less read and write a financial statement. Small wonder they say investing is risky. A business has a financial statement. A stock certificate is a reflection of a financial statement. Every real estate property has a financial statement, and each individual human being has a financial statement, said Rich Dad. Every security and human being, I asked. Even my dad? Even my mom? Sure, said Rich Dad. Everything, regardless of whether it is a business, stock, real estate, or human being, that transacts money has an income statement and balance sheet, whether or not they know it. People who are not aware of the power of a financial statement often have the least money and the biggest financial problems. You mean like my dad is having right now, I said. Unfortunately, that is true, said Rich Dad. Not knowing the simple difference between assets and liabilities, earned income from passive and portfolio income, and not knowing where they all appear and how they flow on a financial statement has been a costly oversight for your dad. So when you look at a business, you look at the financial statement, not the price of its stock that day, I asked, doing my best to move the discussion away from my dad. That is correct, said Rich Dad. That is called fundamental investing. Financial literacy is fundamental to fundamental investing. When I look at the financials of a business, I look at the guts of a business. When I look at the financials, I can tell if the business is fundamentally strong or weak, growing or declining. I can tell if the management is doing a good job or wasting a lot of the investor's money. The same is true with an apartment building or office building. So by reading the financials, you can tell for yourself if the investment is risky or safe, I added. Yes, said Rich Dad. The financials of a person, a business, or a real estate property will tell me much more than that. But a cursory look at a financial statement does three more important things. And they are? For one thing, being financially literate gives me a checklist of what is important. I can look at each line and determine what is not being done right, or what I can do to improve the business and make things right. Most investors look at the price and then the stock's PE, or price-earnings ratio. The PE of a stock is an outsider's indicator of the business. An insider needs other indicators, and that is what I will teach you. Those indicators are part of a safety checklist to make sure that all the parts of the business are functioning well. If you are not financially literate, you cannot tell the differences. Then, of course, investing becomes risky for that person. And the second thing? I asked. The second thing is that when I look at an investment, I overlay it on my personal financial statement and see where it fits. As I said, investing is a plan. I want to see how the financial statement of the business, the stock, the bond, or the real estate will impact my personal financial statement. I want to know that this investment will get me to where I want to go. I can also analyze how I can afford the investment. By knowing my numbers, I know what will happen if I borrow money to buy an investment and the long-term impact balanced with income and outflow due to debt payments. And the third thing? I want to know that this investment is safe and will make me money. I can tell if it is going to make money or lose money in a very short period of time. So if it does not make me money, or I cannot fix the reason why it will not make me money, why should I buy it? That would be risky. So if you do not make money, you don't invest? I asked. In most instances, said Rich Dad. Yet, As simple as that sounds, it always amazes me when I meet people who are losing money or making no money and they think they are investors. Many people who invest in real estate lose money every month and then say, "But the government gives me a tax break for my losses." That is like saying, "If you lose a dollar, the government will give you 30 cents back." A few very sophisticated business people and investors know how to use that government ploy to their advantage, but very few people really do. Why not make a dollar and get an additional 30-cent bonus from the government? That is what a real investor does. People actually do that? They actually lose money and think it is investing? On top of that, they think losing money for tax advantages is a good idea. "Do you know how easy it is to find an investment that loses money?" asked Rich Dad. "I imagine it would be pretty easy," I said. "The world is filled with stocks, mutual funds, real estate, and businesses that do not make any money." So a real investor first wants to make money, and then, after making money, they want an additional bonus from the government. So a real investor will make a dollar as well as get a 30-cent bonus from the government. An unsophisticated investor will lose a dollar and be thrilled to get 30 cents from the government in the form of a tax write-off. "Just because that person cannot read a financial statement?" I asked. "That is one of the basics. Financial literacy is definitely an important investor basic at the rich investment level. The other basic is to invest to make money. Never invest with the intent to lose money and then be happy with a tax write-off. You invest for one reason only, to make money. Investing is risky enough without investing to lose money." Your report card. As we ended the lesson for the day, Rich Dad said, "Now do you realize why I had you do your personal financial statements so often?" I nodded and said, "As well as analyze the financial statements of businesses and real estate investments. You kept saying you wanted me to think in financial statements. Now I understand why." While you were in school, you got a report card once a quarter. A financial statement is your report card once you leave school. The problem is that since most people have not been trained to read financial statements or trained in how to keep a personal financial statement, they have no idea how they were doing once they leave school. Many people have failing marks on their personal financial statements, but think they are doing well because they have a high-paying job and a nice home. Unfortunately, if I were handing out the grades, anyone who was not financially independent by age 45 would receive a failing grade. It is not that I want to be cruel. I just want people to wake up and maybe do a few things differently before they run out of their most important asset, time. "So you reduce risk by being able to read financial statements," I replied. "A person needs to get his or her personal financial statement under control before investing." "Definitely," said Rich Dad. "This whole process I have been talking about is the process of taking control of yourself, which also means your financial statement. So many people want to invest because they are deep in debt. Investing in the hopes of making more money so you can pay bills or buy a bigger house or a new car is a fool's investment plan. You should invest for only one reason: to acquire an asset that converts ordinary earned income into passive income or portfolio income. That conversion of one form of income into another form of income is the primary objective of a true investor. To do that requires a higher degree of financial literacy than simply balancing a checkbook. So you're not concerned about the price of a stock or a real estate property as much as the operating fundamentals that you can see with the financial statement." "Right," said Rich Dad. "That is why I got upset when you were concerned about the stock market prices. While price is important, it is far from the most important thing in fundamental investing. Price is more relevant in technical investing, but technical investing is another lesson. Now do you understand why I had you do so many personal financial statements and analyze businesses and real estate investments?" I nodded. I hated it at the time, but now I'm glad you had me do so many of them. I realize now how much I analyze things using mental pictures of my financial statement. I visualize how what I do with my money is affecting my financial statement. I did not realize that most people do not think with these types of visual reference points. The Magic Carpet. You are far ahead of the game, said Rich Dad, the game of getting rich. I have a term for the income statement and the balance sheet, the two primary reports that make up financial statements. The Magic Carpet. Why do you call them the Magic Carpet? I asked. Because they seem to magically take you behind the scenes into any business, any piece of real estate, and any country in the world. It is much like taking a diving mask and suddenly looking below the surface of the water. The mask, symbolizing the financial statement, lets you see clearly what is going on beneath the surface. Alternatively, a financial statement is like having Superman's X-ray vision. Instead of trying to jump over the tall building, a financially literate person can see right through the building's concrete walls. Another reason I call them the magic carpet is that they free you to see and do so many things in so many parts of the world while sitting at your desk. You can invest in so many parts of the world or just in your backyard with so much more knowledge and insight. Improving my financial literacy ultimately reduces my risk and improves my investment returns. A financial statement lets me see what the average investor cannot see. It also gives me control over my personal finances, and that allows me to go where I want to go in my life. Having control over financial statements also allows me to operate multiple businesses without being in the business physically. Truly understanding financial statements is one of the keys necessary for a person in the S quadrant to move to the B quadrant. And that is why I call the income statement and balance sheet the magic carpet. Mental attitude quiz. If we were going to buy a used car, we would probably want a mechanic to look it over and hook it up to an electronic analyzer before deciding if it was worth the asking price. If we were looking at a house, we would ask a home inspector to go through a checklist and check out the condition of the foundation, plumbing, electricity, roof, and so on, before buying the house. If we were going to marry someone, we would probably want to know what was really going on beneath the pretty face before deciding to spend a lifetime with that pretty face. Yet, when it comes to investing, most investors never read the financial statements of the company they are investing in. Most investors would rather invest on a hot tip or a low price or high price, depending upon the momentum of the market. Most people get their cars tuned up and checked out annually or have an annual health physical. But most people never have their financial statements analyzed for flaws or potential problems. The reason is that most people leave school unaware of the importance of a financial statement, much less how to control one. It's no wonder that so many people say investing is risky. Investing is not risky, but being financially illiterate is. How to see investment opportunities. If you plan to become rich by being an investor, I would say that having a good working knowledge of a financial statement is a minimum requirement. It will not only improve your safety factor, but it will also allow you to make much more money in a shorter period of time. Being able to read a financial statement will allow you to see investment opportunities that the average investor misses. The average investor looks primarily at price as the opportunity to buy or sell. The sophisticated investor has trained his or her brain to see opportunities other than price. The sophisticated investor knows that most of the best investment opportunities are not visible to the untrained eye. Rich Dad taught me that you make the most money as an investor by being financially literate as well as knowing internal strengths and weaknesses of the investment. He said, "Where you find the best investment opportunities is from understanding accounting, the tax code, business law, and corporate law. It is in these invisible realms where the real investors shop for the biggest investment bargains. That is why I call the income statement and balance sheet the magic carpet. So, the mental attitude question is, if you plan to become wealthy as an investor and invest in the investments of the rich, are you willing to keep an updated personal financial statement and practice reading other financial statements on a regular basis? Chapter 16, Investor Lesson Number 16, Financial Literacy Made Simple. Your dad struggles financially because he is word literate, but not financially literate, Rich Dad often said to me. If he just took the time to learn how to read numbers and the vocabulary of money, his life would change dramatically. Financial literacy was one of Rich Dad's six lessons in Rich Dad, Poor Dad. To Rich Dad, financial literacy was crucial for anyone who was sincere about being a business owner or a professional investor. I will quickly review financial literacy in the simple and easy-to-understand way that Rich Dad explained it to me. The basics. A sophisticated investor should be able to read many different financial documents. The income statement and balance sheet are at the center of all the documents. I am not an accountant, but I have attended several classes on accounting. In most of those classes, what struck me was how the instructors focused on either one of the documents, but not the relationship between the income statement and the balance sheet. In other words, the instructors never explained why one document was important to the other or how one affected the other. Rich Dad thought the relationship between the income statement and the balance sheet was everything. He would say, "How can you understand one without the other? How can you tell what an asset or liability really is without the income column or the expense column?" He would go on and say, "Just because something is listed under the asset column does not make it an asset." I think that statement was the single most important point he made. He would say, "The reason most people suffer financially is that they purchase liabilities and list them under the asset column. That is why so many people call their home an asset when it is really a liability." If you understand Gresham's Law,